Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday to you. It is a throwback Thursday today. We're going back to 1947. Jackie Robinson Day today, as they celebrated across Major League Baseball the breaking of the color barrier when he made his debut for the Brooklyn Dodgers again on this date in 1947. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. We talked yet last hour about Justin Fields and his quarterback stock seemingly tumbling, and people are kind of perplexed as to why. And again, 2 weeks from now, we'll have the draft, and we'll see if this is all just sort of talking fodder or is there actually something to it. But one thing to note is that in looking at all the teams that have been showing up to pro days, one team in particular has stopped doing that, and that is the LA Rams. Now, look, the Rams are no, you know, look, it's not because they're set on Matt Stafford, and it's not for any other reason. They are actually changing the way they're evaluating prospects. They're putting more emphasis on actually watching tape and film rather than going to these scripted pro days, which, again, you think about this for a second. Sometimes we just do things because that's just the way it's always been done, and sometimes it takes something to sort of reshape the thinking, and maybe doing it in a particular way just doesn't work anymore. The Rams may be figuring that out for themselves, that they don't need to send people all over the country to watch pro days, that pro days are a scripted event. It's usually in a friendly environment with friendly personnel, and they don't necessarily need to see that when they've got plenty of tape and they've got scouts and they've got their own level evaluation, that they don't need to sort of make a decision based on some workout at some college campus. Now, do I think it'll be the end of pro days? No, because I do think there is going to be interest in players in a group setting sometimes when a school has one with 4 or 5 players involved in it. But I do think more and more teams may be rethinking and reevaluating exactly what it takes to sort of look at a player and determine his worth coming into the NFL. And in that respect, maybe less and less teams go to pro days, and way down the road, maybe they just become obsolete. Who knows? But I know the Rams today have decided to go against the grain and sort of say, you know what, we know what we know. We know how to get the information we need to make a proper evaluation. Be interesting if other teams start following suit. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue. Sports Map Radio, it's Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on a throwback Thursday. Again, Jackie Robinson Day today across Major League Baseball. That is a good, but here is also the good of the day.
I got a couple game show goods.
Oh, very good. We love game shows.
We love game shows. Yesterday, yes. You know, one of the TVs in the studio here is on CBS. So The Price is Right is on, you know, and I, you know, just was glancing up every now and then because I like all the different games. I'm always excited if someone gets that. The dice game to win a car.
Oh, I love the dice game. My favorite is the mountain climber game. Remember that
one? Yeah, they don't do him so too much anymore.
I know.
But, you know, what the good was got to see, which you don't really get to see all too often, a double showcase winner.
Oh, that's great.
She was $44 off.
Wow, $44. That's amazing.
Yeah, she lost her mind, by the way.
Yeah, of course she did. But, you know, those California taxes will also give you a nosebleed, too. But nevertheless, still winning all those cash and prizes.
All those cash and prizes, and you don't need to take the prizes if you don't want to. Go for the cash option.
Take the cash option, let California get its cut, and go home.
Unless it's a car that you really, really
want. That's right. That is correct. That's awesome. Good double showcase winner. I love that.
Yeah, but the other good of the day is that Aaron Rodgers, I think, is starting to get a little bit more comfortable being the host of Jeopardy.
I was wondering about this because it does take a few before you start going, all right, I got this. I got the rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, we played a cut earlier in the week or at some point. Maybe it was last week. You know, and he gave like a snarky response, or it was, you know, like when the guy trolled him.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, said, you know, who actually wanted that field goal kicked or something along those lines. And, you know, he was like, good question. And so fast forward to this happened on Tuesday, I believe. This question and answer popped up, and this was a little bit more, I think, closer. We're getting closer to a Trebek-esque type of host.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go.
Title for 400. In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned five NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title for 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
What are the Boston Celtics?
Oh, you know that one, huh?
Title race for 800.
Oh, good for Aaron Rodgers.
So, a little bit more comfortable. The jury is still out on whether or not he would make a good host. And, you know, like we always say, finish football first and then come back to it.
I don't mean this in a disrespecting way to Aaron Rodgers. I know he's a very smart person. But one of the things I always liked about Alex Trebek is when those long words that are hard to say, he'd flow through them like honey, right? And can Aaron Rodgers do that? Like when he talks about historical figures from France, can he flow through the category with the same ease as Alex Trebek? Jeopardy is supposed to be a hard game show. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, I'm catching you off guard. I'm sorry.
No, you're not catching me off guard.
That's what I'm trying to get at. All right, let's go to the bat of the day.
No, I'm letting you continue.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the bat.
No, I think, Aaron Rodgers, he needs to just develop, there's a little bit more that he needs to have. And yeah, Trebek had this way, just the way he would say things or the way he would respond when nobody had a question made you feel like he was the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Aaron has that just yet.
I don't think so yet.
But he's getting closer.
What's the bat of the day?
We're going to talk about another Aaron. Somebody decided to pick a fight with Aaron Donald yesterday over this past weekend, and and unfortunately, that guy is he got a lawyer, and that lawyer wants to bring up charges against Aaron Donald. I don't know that there's the full details of the fight aren't really out there. The bat of the day is if you have half a brain, why would you pick a fight with Aaron Donald?
I have no idea why you would do this. Makes no sense.
It was. It was in an after-hours club, so obviously beer muscles were probably a part of it, or alcohol muscles, whatever your drink of choice is, muscles were there.
Man, there has to be a lot of alcohol, because even with a mild amount of alcohol, you still wouldn't do that.
You may not recognize them, because, a lot of football players we don't really recognize on the street unless they're a face of the league. He's
sure.
Somewhat of a face of the league.
I get it.
But
I get
still,
most people wouldn't recognize Aaron Donald. Not everybody knows football so much that they would know Aaron Donald by his
face.
And
it's not like he was wearing his jersey. But still, this is a guy, we've talked about him a lot. Not only is he, one of the, probably the most feared defensive player in the league. This is a guy who also practiced throwing knives or juggling knives or something with knives. He also takes martial arts and... there's just a whole list of reasons why you wouldn't want to pick a fight with him. And
well, most people would not recognize Aaron Donald, would not know that he was a martial arts knife-throwing defender of the NFL. If you didn't recognize his face, you would not throw into your equation.
And I guess the scary thing is, because Aaron Donald's not a huge individual, he's not like like a Myles Garrett, where Myles Garrett's like, 6'6"?
Yeah.
I think Aaron Donald's only 6'2".
So he doesn't have the kind of physique when he walks into a bar that you go, that guy must do something physical for a living given his size and strength. Right.
Yeah. But there's a reason why he's, keeps on winning all these defensive awards.
Don't pick a fight with Aaron Donald. That's
don't
all.
Pick a fight with Aaron Donald.
Even if you think you're strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't make a mess of that.
So And you can see the photos of the guy who was on the end of Aaron Donald's fist. His eye is closed shut.
Aaron
almost
Donald's
feels
be
like
careful,
permanently.
Though. Aaron Donald's got to be careful, though.
He seems to be. I don't know too much about Aaron Donald, but when I have seen him in public, he seems to be mild tempered. Now, I don't know if, whatever. I don't know the situation of the fight, like what set him off.
Well, yeah,
it's all behind closed doors at this point. But it seems to me like he's someone that could hold his temper in.
Well, yeah.
Until a certain point.
You know, you just got to be, you don't know. Here's the thing. You don't, if you're going to just fight anybody who's picking a fight with you, one time you're going to do it when you're instigating something. And next thing you know, you're in a lawsuit, you're settling out of court, and it's just a mess. You got to learn who you are compared to who's coming after you, right? You got to know where you stand. And that's, you know, you got to be careful. That's, if you're Aaron Donald, just know you're stronger and more physically fit than most people that are coming after. Now, obviously, you're defending yourself, of course, absolutely. But you got an unfair advantage. You work out for a living.
Yeah.
Right? You're in shape for a living. You are physical for a living. So,
and not only that, you're at the top of your game because you're usually doubled or triple teamed, and you still get to the ball.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you ever seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that Quentin Tarantino movie?
I haven't yet. I need to.
There's a scene in it where Bruce Lee is basically being challenged to a fight by Brett. Well, he's talking about, the Bruce Lee character is saying, my fists are lethal weapons, meaning if we get in a fight and I kill you, I go to jail. And Brad Pitt's character, who's a stuntman, says, anybody who gets a fight and kills somebody goes to jail. It's called manslaughter. So if you're Aaron Donald, don't get in a fight with somebody. It doesn't matter. You're bigger and stronger, but...
Yeah. Unless you're defending yourself or defending the honor of a lady.
Totally fine. But even defending yourself, it's hard. You know, you're still going to be investigated. It's still going to be looked... It's not... We just took his word for it that this guy got severely hurt in a self-defense case. They got to investigate it, and if there's any cracks in your story, they're going to exploit it because of who you are. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that it must be tough to be an actor sometimes, right?
Right.
Mark Wahlberg, for an upcoming role, has to put on 30 pounds.
30 pounds?
Yes.
For what reason?
It's just the role. It's like he's an old boxer, but he's a dad now, so he's showing like, hey, he was a boxer, physically fit all those years, and then, you know, 20 years later,
now
he's put on some weight.
Let's go back to that for a second. He's a physically fit guy, right?
Yes, he is.
So his metabolism is probably on 15
on a scale
of 1 to 10.
Yeah,
this might be difficult for him to do.
No, it is, but at the same time, where I'm coming from, where I'm saying that he's the that it's hard sometimes, his plan is just to eat at Denny's and KFC's to pack on the pounds. And kind of jealous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you and I did that for a week, we would be in trouble.
I saw an ad on TV the other day for a weight gain pill. It's for people who are like super skinny and don't really like being super skinny. So weight, I thought, we don't need a pill for that.
No, I don't think we do.
Like, what do we, like, if you want to gain weight, we seem
to
be good at that in this country. We seem to provide you all the tools you need to gain weight in America. You don't need a pill.
I think unequivocally, we're the leader of the world, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think we're first.
We have so much food. We have abundance of food, and we're all fat.
I mean, I guess
we're all fat with the wrong foods too. So
I guess you would need the pill if you had like an extremely high metabolism rate.
Maybe
like,
so.
It's like, I fire down four whole pizzas and I can't gain a pound.
My initial reaction was this doesn't seem necessary, but maybe, and I'm willing to admit I'm naive on this. Maybe a doctor would say, no, this actually is a lot different than just chowing down the calories.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you're right. It just seemed, when I first saw it, I went, do we really have a issue with, like, in America, we're like,
I don't think so.
America's too thin.
I need the pill that just magically takes the weight away.
I know. I know, right?
You know, not these fat-burning pills that require more work on your end as well.
They're just, no offense to the companies, but most of them are just horrible laxatives.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you can't even leave the house. You're like, honey, I can't go shopping for Christmas trees this holiday season because I need to stay within the house, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Right, that's mostly it.
You need to be within 10 feet of the commode.
Otherwise, we're not going out. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the life that Mark Wahlberg is going to lead at the minute, is that he wants to go to bakeries, he wants to go to Denny's, he wants to get pancakes, he wants to get everything he possibly can get his hands on.
What a life. What a life. The first couple, when I was in college, I went to a KFC that had a buffet, and I thought I died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that it existed. I couldn't believe it. I walked in. I was on a road trip too. And then when they had one in New Hampshire, my friends and I all drove an hour to the seacoast to the one that had one, just because I couldn't believe this existed.
Well,
it
was calling you.
It was definitely calling.
You know, it's like, you know, people make the journey to Mecca. You made the journey to KFC. Same principles.
I love it. 11 herbs and spices.
Yeah.
And they just served it up at a buffet as much as you want.
God.
Take as much as you want.
How that would, I need a, that, you know what? I mean, I'm just thinking about it over and over in my head. That would be so much fun.
Good for him. Good for him. Pancakes and breakfast items and bacon and KFC food.
Just loading up on it.
Wonderful.
And I mean, you know, he gets to quit working out for a little bit.
That's right. That's true. Good for him. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Let's go! Batter up! We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along Jackie Robinson's day today on a Throwback Thursday. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Michael on Twitter pointed out that The Natural is the best baseball movie ever.
It's good. Music. I don't know if it's the best. It's hard to say.
The music was great.
Yeah, the music is great.
Great.
Has one of the most iconic scenes in all of...
Hit the lights!
Yeah, all of baseball.
Run, with the kid's bat.
You know, I'm running the bases and sparks just flying down. But I don't know if it's the best, though. It's hard. I guess it's all subjective.
It depends on your, like, Major League is a great comedy,
yep.
Right? Field of Dreams will make you tear jerk a bit. Natural's got a pretty good story, even though it's a little on the supernatural side, right? It's a little bit more on the high end fiction side,
right?
But there's been, you know, there's a number of them.
Sandlot brings you. Sandlot is a nostalgic one.
Yeah, Sandlot was great.
So it's not like in football. You know, the best there's only one really good college football movie. And I feel that's The Program.
Yeah, The Program is great. That was filmed at the University of South Carolina.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
The scenes were at Williams-Brice Stadium. So a friend of mine was at one of the games where they filmed it at halftime. The teams went, they're playing I forget who they're playing, but South Carolina and the opponent went to their separate place. They were playing East Carolina or something. And then they brought out the actors and the extras for the game. And then for half an hour, they filmed the shots
just football.
That they wanted, just football. And I think they did it twice or something.
Okay.
And they changed all the decor around the stadium real quick. They were able to change it for the shots, and then there you go. They did it.
But I feel
the program was really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because Rudy's not a football movie.
No, Rudy's a little too much.
Yeah, and Rudy, I know it's centered around college, movies. But The Program gave us that. That was like the real first time inside look of like, wow, this is how it really is.
I hate to say this about Rudy, because I know Rudy has a special place for a lot of people. That movie, every time I watch it, I like it less and less and less every time I see it. Like, when I first saw it, I loved it, and then I, you know, thought it was great. What a great story. But after a while, you start realizing, a lot of this isn't true. It's too Hollywood, and he's annoying. He's absolutely annoying. Just drives you crazy after a while. And like when he's working at the state, if I was that guy, that janitor guy who used to play and was running he was the caretaker, the guy that gave him the cot, I would have told him to shut up and get to work. Stop running around this field. What is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? Just stop it. Get to work and clean up whatever you're supposed to clean up.
I mean, but that is the one scene that I can repeat in my head over and over that I do love I can't remember his name. What's the actor's name? Charles what? Charles Hudson?
Oh, yeah.
When he's just standing in the tunnel, it's like, you're 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing. You know, it's like, that's finally someone's telling him.
Right, exactly. God, and he doesn't have the grades to get into the team in the first place.
But, I mean, he points out, it's like, you got an education from one of the greatest colleges in the land.
It wasn't good enough, man. You know, it goes back to something. I really, I know I've said this before, but I talked about this with Tom Brady. So many people are motivated by the haters. Like, you've got to learn to let that go because you're never going to do it. You're never going to do it. People aren't all of a sudden, the people who don't like you today aren't going to like you because you accomplished them. They're just going to hate you more. Leave them alone. There are people that support you, that people are behind you. Care about them. Don't. So what if people say you can't do something? Ignore them and just do it anyway. But don't be, I have to get up every day to prove him wrong. Why? Why is he important in your life? Why is he an influencing factor? Why can't you get up and work out and try to be the best person you can be? Because people have sacrificed for you. People have believed in you. People have encouraged you. But the one loser in a blog in a basement in his parents' house drove you crazy enough to make you lift that extra weight? What are you doing? You're never going to get over that. That is not something you're going to satisfy, ever. You're never going to satisfy. It's like, you know, when I was younger, I was kind of a distracting presence a lot in class. I was always trying to be funny, and I was always trying to gain attention. And I mean, I'll be honest, kids do what kids do, right? I mean, I knew I could get laughs. I tried to get laughs. But as I got older and I matured and I started seeing that in one of my kids, I started to realize you have to get rid of that because you never get the attention you're looking for. You never satisfied. You never say, that's enough, I don't need any more, right? You get more and more crazy. You get more and more outlandish. You say more and more crazy things. You cause more and more of a problem. You get in more and more trouble because you can't satisfy that desire that's in you to get attention. Right. Like I couldn't. Right. I eventually had to just mature my way out of it. But it's likewise when you are motivated by hate, when you're motivated by people who don't believe in you, you that never goes away. You never satisfy that. You never say, now I'm good. Right. Because the hater will just turn around and say, yeah, do it again. Right. Or do it a third time or do it a fifth time. Or why don't you win that eighth Super Bowl, loser? Right. Like it never goes away. So you have to end it yourself, because if you don't end it yourself, you'll be motivated. You're just going down the wrong path. Look at the people that have always believed in you. Look at the people that have always stood by you. And those are the people you should have supported. That was the wrong message of Rudy. Rudy was a guy trying to prove everybody, his family, everybody who told him he couldn't do it, when he should have believed in the person that did tell him he could do it. Right. His friend, Jon Favreau, who yes. believed in him. But he didn't give a crap about Jon Favreau's support. He cared more about his stupid brother who told him what he was, which was not athletic enough to play football at Notre Dame. Right? And let's be honest, Rudy was a charity case, right? I mean, he got into a blowout game in the final seconds where he got to play his senior year after getting his butt kicked in practice. And they're like, ah, throw him a bone. Let him go out there. He did really get a quarterback sack, though. That is true. You know how yes. I know? Because I interviewed Rudy in Las Vegas, and he told me a lot of times. I did a two-hour show with Rudy in Las Vegas. It was fun. Don't get me wrong. It was fun. But, yeah, Rudy loves being Rudy.
Where did he stand on, you know, the players, and I'm if you can see me, I'm doing air quotes, laying their jerseys down on the desk yeah, of Dan right. Devine.
Right? You know, and that's another thing about that movie that drove me crazy. And thanks. I'm glad we're doing this segment. In reality, Dan Devine liked Rudy. He
yes.
supported Rudy. He was not the arrogant former Jets coach that came into Notre Dame and was shutting down dreams. He actually was like, no, I think this is a great opportunity for you to play. He had no – that was the one thing that people who were around at that time said that bothered them about the movie. Dan Devine was painted as the villain who wanted nothing to do with this yeah, story whatsoever.
Nothing to do with walk-ons, nothing to do with – you know, anything
like,
that
thought it was
Rudy.
Stupid. How dare this kid want to get on the field? He doesn't deserve it. The exact opposite was true. Dan Devine actually really supported the idea of Rudy getting a chance to play and dress for that one moment.
So what you're telling me is that the players didn't lay their jerseys
yeah.
down on his desk?
Joe Montana said that. Joe Montana, he said we did not do that at all. At all. Rudy. Watch it with that kind of appreciation, and it's not a bad movie.
No.
Certainly not all based on a true story. We continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Tub of Towels handles your tough messes, over 30,000 five-star reviews, and there's a reason, because it breaks the bonds that hold dirt and grease to the surface or clean just about anything, anywhere. Your car, walls, floors, tiles, appliances, countertops, outdoor grills, that's where I used it, a stove. I cleaned the stove so well, my wife went, "What did you do?" Fabric, carpet, lawn, garden equipment, you name it. Put it in the garage, but bring it in the house because it will tackle anything, anywhere. Grease, oil, tar, paint, stains, brake dust, engine grime, permanent marker, that's a key. Ink, glue, wax, food, drink stains, even bird messes on your car. Tub of Towels has the answer. Proudly made in the USA, contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin, so it's gentle on your hands, even tough on dirt. The vapor lock lid snaps closed, stays moist, doesn't dry out, so they can use them time and time again. And you can find them at various locations throughout Napa, AutoZone, Advanced Auto, O'Reilly, Pep Boys. Check it out, Tub of Towels, for your tough messes. All right, so we are celebrating Jackie Robinson Day today because this is the date in 1947. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers and broke the color barrier, and baseball was never the same again. And in fact, it was for the better as people started to realize the contributions of black Americans to the sport of baseball. But this is not the only thing that happened on April 15th. First of all, it's tax day, but that doesn't really count this year.
Yep.
So, you know, we don't necessarily have that. But here are a couple of other things that happened on April
15th. Yeah, it might go down. It might be the most important day on the calendar.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. Go back to this, you know, I'm just jumping back up from, you know, this page that I have, because it goes all the way back to BC. But in 1755, Samuel Johnson's A Dictionary of the English Language published in London.
So the first dictionary
It's considered to be one of the first dictionaries. It's like the precursor. It wasn't really considered like the first definitive dictionary, but it's the one that kind of got the dictionary as like an idea.
Who came up with that project?
Samuel Johnson.
Right, Samuel Johnson. But did he get an assignment from somebody? Like, yeah. Hey, you know what we need?
Or did he just decide to do it on his own, right?
Every single word of our language, alphabetical, with pronunciation and definition. Throw definition in there, too.
Yeah.
Okay. And I need it by Thursday. Okay.
I mean, it was probably a lot easier back then.
Yeah, they probably had...
I don't think they had as many words.
50 words. We just kept expanding the vocabulary.
Let's go to 1850. The city of San Francisco is incorporated.
Oh, congrats. So it's like the birth date of San Francisco today?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It's also the day Abraham Lincoln died.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. 1865.
Really? So, okay, did he die? So he was shot at the theater. Did he die... Is that the date? So he died on this date being shot in the theater, or did they pronounce him dead like after midnight?
I think they pronounced him dead. He says Abraham Lincoln dies 9 hours after he is shot attending the play Our American Cousin at Ford Theater. So
he was shot on the 14th.
Yes.
9 hours later on the 15th, midnight, he died.
Yep. Okay. Wow. So, I mean, that's pretty significant.
That's right. Oh, by the way, do you know why... never mind.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to mention a Lincoln thing, but I think it's an urban legend, so forget it.
All right.
So it was just one of those Lincoln things, but then I remembered it might not be true. So go ahead, continue.
1896, the first modern Summer Olympic Games close.
Oh, so the first modern, so the games were over in April 15th. It doesn't really sing Summer Games to me.
Right. Maybe it was just Olympic Games, and now it's just to let you guys know. These were when the Summer Games were happening, but this when the first one ended.
It's a balmy 42 degrees here as we get ready for the 100-meter dash. Now, the first ever Summer Games.
I don't know if, I don't know if this was the actual date of the Boston Marathon, the first Boston Marathon, but the Boston Marathon usually traditionally happens on April 15th.
I think you're right. Now it's the first. It's like Monday. It's Patriots Day is the Monday. I think it's coming up. I think it's coming. But yeah, I think April 15th is.
William Howard Taft is the first U.S. president to throw out the first ball at a baseball game.
Now that seems like an idea like that was kind of. You know, brought up like, hey, let's get the president to throw out the first baseball.
Yeah.
All right. What is that? What is throwing out the first baseball mean? Well, we'll just have him go out and throw it to a player.
I wish there was a video of that. His Taft was a large individual.
Yeah. Did he get it over the plate? Did he throw a strike? Do we even know if it even reached the plate?
Was he more George Bush?
Yeah.
Or was he Fauci?
Did he practice? Yeah, like Fauci. Who was the guy? Was it 50 Cent? 50 that
Cent.
Threw it six yeah. miles away.
50 Cent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know if you mentioned this or you know I know we were talking about it during the break, but 1912 Titanic sunk.
Titanic went down on this date. Yeah. Move over, Rose. All
yeah.
you had to do was scoot over just a little bit.
That's all that was needed.
That's all that all he was asking. That piece of wood you were floating on was way too big for one person.
How about this one? Rand McNally published its first road atlas.
Oh, see, I told you this. My father loves road atlases. Happy
yeah.
birthday to the road atlas.
But now we don't ever use it's hard to imagine like how did we actually do it? I don't
like
know.
Like get from point A to point B?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had a Thomas Guide in my car at all times, you know, just of L.A. County when I first started. And I think I got one from when I lived in San Diego, too. I got a Thomas Guide because that was the definitive one that you got because it broke down the maps into larger sections so you could actually see where you're going. And that's how we determined. That's how we got to places.
It is remarkable, isn't it? Because I think back on the early years of my career, and when I got into this business, I was the third guy in a three-man sports radio team in Manchester, New Hampshire. So I was always getting like, hey, go to this college hockey game in the middle of nowhere, or go to this high school baseball tournament. And I'd have to find the schools on a map, and I had to find a way. And I remembered like driving all these back roads of New Hampshire to find these small places.
Yeah.
Yet I found a way to get there on time.
And you didn't have something telling you, hey, turn left at the next light, turn right in two streets.
And yet I managed to get there with no trouble whatsoever. I still have no idea how I found 95% of the places I had to go to early in my career. I used to do this with racetracks. I used to cover racing, and I would have to go to Connecticut for some speedway, and I'd be like, how do I even get there? And I'm like following on a map going, I guess I'll take this exit, and I'll run into it, I guess. I guess that's what I did.
It's I mean, we deserve a pat on the back for that, because you hand a map to your son and say, son, I need you to get home.
No way. No chance. But you know what is, you know how people complain sometimes on Facebook or whatnot, they'll say cursive handwriting is going out of style. And I'm like, so what? Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, so big deal.
We use cursive so we didn't, because it was shorter.
Right.
It didn't take as long.
Most people don't write in cursive anymore. It doesn't seem to be a skill you need to have. But doesn't map reading, wouldn't you kind of need to still know how to do that?
I don't know.
Because what if your GPS just goes kaput? What if your phone dies and you don't know where you are?
Then I guess you
literally are like, I have no idea where I am. Before people said that, but you would be, you kind of know where you are. Shut up. You're on Interstate 15 and you're between this place and this place. You kind of, but sometimes you go, I don't even know what state.
I guess, I mean, if that happens, you drive around till you find a payphone.
Right. That's another one. Yeah. Payphone. That's okay. No, real quick, you get me on these tangents and I love it. I love it. I remember one time I was meeting this girl for dinner and I was running late. I was at a press conference and I was running late, really late. And I'm driving to the restaurant and luckily she was just a college friend, so it wasn't a big deal. But it goes to highlight, when you were running late to something, you had to make a decision. Do you stay on the road and get there as fast as you possibly can? Or do you pull off the highway, find a gas station, find a payphone, find the number for the restaurant, call that restaurant and tell the individual you're going
to
be late?
Well, I was also back. You could call the operator and say, yeah, right. I need you to connect me to such and such number.
Exactly. But that was the decision because you didn't have a phone next to you that you could just pick up while you're driving and quickly dial that or text that person or whatever it is you were going to do and say, I'm running late. You were just like at the mercy of hoping they would just stay there and not leave the restaurant. Crazy. All right, what else went on tonight? This is a great segment, by the
1927,
way.
1927, this is Babe Ruth hits his first home run en route to 60 on this
date. Oh, yeah, that was a magical year for him.
Yep.
60 home runs.
Now we'll skip over Jackie Robinson since we've been doing that all day, but this one, I thought this was pretty cool. 1955, Ray Kroc opens first McDonald's.
Oh, when he took it over from the McDonald brothers and that handshake deal that screwed them over? Yeah. Yeah,
so,
that's good.
I mean, just iconic. I mean, it's just a lot of just iconic things that happened on April 15th.
What a nice day today in history. That's right. Wow.
The Chesapeake Bay Bridge opened on this day.
NFL changes penalty flag from bright white to bright gold on this date.
So
they made that decision.
Go back to Abe Lincoln for a second. Why wasn't he dead the minute the bullet went through his head?
I don't think, you know, he was shot in the back, wasn't he?
Shot in the back. Why wasn't he dead? He stayed alive for 9 hours?
Or yeah.
Was he dead?
Must have been excruciating pain.
God, that must have been horrible. That must have been horrible. 9 hours of that?
9 hours.
Before they went, oh, now he's dead.
Oh, 1975, first appearance of San Diego Chicken.
Oh, yeah, one of the most iconic mascots in all of sports.
I don't even think he's out anymore.
No, I think he's... Is the Philly Fanatic still around?
Yeah, I think he is.
Is he still around? Okay.
Competing with Gritty now.
Gritty's great.
Gritty is great.
Gritty.
I didn't know what to think of Gritty the first time we saw him, though.
Oh, I know. First time I saw him, I thought, this is kind of a
joke. What is this?
And then he became super popular. And then they were like, all right, they got something now. Gritty. Now, he's the Flyers mascot, right? Or is
No, he's the Flyers mascot. Okay. Here's another
Stupid
one.
Me. I know Gritty, but I don't know who he supports.
This isn't too long ago, 1989, 96 crushed to death and 766 injured at Hillsboro Football Stadium.
Did you see the documentary
yes.
on this? It is unreal. I watched it, and I knew zero of this story.
I remember hearing about it and knowing about it and still watched it, like, as if I had never even heard the story before.
I got a message from a friend who said, hey, did you see the Hillsboro documentary? And I said, no. And he says, it's coming on again tonight. Tape it. Watch it. And I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know this happened. And I watched it, and it is paralyzing to watch the people, the crushing.
Yeah.
Where people were up against fences, and they kept pouring people into the stadium, and they were slowly getting crushed to death by the crowds because nobody had any control of the crowd.
But basically,
at all,
like a lot of football stadiums, we'll call them football stadiums, soccer stadiums in England, used to have sections that were standing room only. You had your seats,
right,
and then you had sections that were standing room only, and the standing room only seats. I mean, these stadiums or these teams were just like, just let them all in. It's just more cash for us. And there was no regulation on the, how many they should put into a stadium.
And nobody was communicating. Nobody knew what to do. They just kept letting them come in. And nobody knew how to respond to it as it was getting worse and worse. There's a scene in that documentary where they were just dead bodies. They were dead bodies. They were trying to separate them who died all over the field while they were doing their, you know, kind of investigation slash... I mean, not cleanup is the wrong word, but you know when they're trying to assess the scene, there's just dead bodies all over the pitch. It's so sad. It was so sad. It's if you can get it on, if you haven't seen it, watch it. I know it's sad. It's kind of a sad topic, but really, really mesmerizing documentary on that tragedy. All right, that's the stuff that happened on April 15th, but it is Jackie Robinson Day today as we celebrate it across Major League Baseball. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio.
Katie was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad, just to root for the hometown crew every Sioux.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Jackie Robinson Day today across Major League Baseball, and they celebrate this every single year. Every team has retired the number 42 as we celebrate baseball. By the way, the Red Sox are really good. Did you know that? They started the season 0-3, but they're rolling along right now. Amazing. Also, a no-hitter yesterday, Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, blanking Cleveland 8-0, struck out 7. Could have had a perfect game if that 0-2 slider didn't get away from him. So that was great to have Major League Baseball have another no-hitter.
I hope he can just celebrate the no-hitter, be proud of the no-hitter. I mean, he looked happy last night after he got the no-hitter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, would that eat you alive?
If you had a chance to really go into immortality with a perfect game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, we get two or three no-hitters a year, sometimes more than that. Perfect games are so rare.
So hard, too.
So hard. 27 up, 27 down. That's it. No nothing. No walks, no nothing. Right? That's really difficult to do. But it's the second no-hitter of the season. We're already, what, a couple weeks in? 3 weeks into the season? And they've already gotten two no-hitters. Maybe we'll get 10 this year. Totally watered down.
Yeah, well, because the baseballs are juiced, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. as we continue along with Wake Up Call. So I was really fascinated with the dates that we did, April 15th.
Yeah.
But also on this date, remember the bombs exploded near the Boston Marathon?
Yes, they did.
I was doing updates of this network on that date, and I remember going having to go from sports to like news mode, and it was difficult to do because it was the big, you know, obviously the big story.
I remember the chase.
Yeah, remember that?
It was like breaking news, but it was like in the middle of the night, and I don't know. I just remember being up, and like every news station had it on, and it was like, he's in Cambridge. He's here. He's there. And it's like just pretty much all over Boston. There's just this wild police chase going on.
Remember they found him in like a boat, right? Somebody's boat in a backyard.
But the only thought that went through my mind is like, man, did they find him quickly?
Yeah.
Well, like I thought, you know, having watched movies, I thought it took a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the bomb explosion on the Boston Marathon on this date in 2013. Wow, 2013.
Yeah.
That's 8 years ago. Amazing. Time is just a weird
thing. Flying by.
Really flying by. So, all right, Jake Asman Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow as we continue along. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call. And again, want to make sure that you're reminded to check us out on the podcast page at podcastarena.com. Jake Asman Show is coming up next.